You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. This week, a debate between candidates in Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District, incumbent Congressman Ron Kind, a Democrat from La Crosse, and his challengers, Republican State Senator Dan Kopanky of La Crosse and independent candidate Michael Crisine of Holton. The debate was presented at UW La Crosse this past Tuesday. The moderator is UWL's Joe Heim.
The next question is going to come from the audience and will be directed at Ron Kind. For the younger generation, we have a large amount of federal debt, and it's accumulating. What have you done, or what are you doing about controlling the national debt?
Thank you, Joe. Thank you for ever offering that question. It's a very important question, and you need a serious answer about it. I think controlling the debt and deficit reduction starts with personal responsibility. That's why I have refused COLA increases for myself. We've worked hard with my staff to find budget savings. We've turned over $1.2 million of our own budget for deficit reduction. And I'm leading the effort with my good friend from Jeff Flake from Arizona on earmark reform. I learned well from Senator Bill Proxmire when I worked for him and investigated many of his Golden Fleece awards for wasteful expenditure of taxpayer dollars. It's still going in the form of these earmarks that I do not request myself in these appropriation bills, and I end up voting against it. But you also need a serious plan on deficit reduction, and you're not going to hear it from my two opponents. They're good with the rhetoric. They're good with the generalities. But here's my plan. You can't address the deficit and what is happening right now unless you talk about rising health care costs. It is the largest and fastest growing area of spending at the federal, state, and local level, and for businesses and families alike. That's why I fought hard in health care reform to get payment reform included, so we're paying for the value, not the volume of care. And that's exactly what our health care providers have been calling for in this region for a long time. We're spending close to 1 out of every 3 health care dollars on tests and procedures that don't work. They don't improve patient care. Almost $800 billion a year. You got to do that. You also have to reform the way we acquire our weapons systems. Current weapons programs in the pipeline are $300 billion over budget. This blank check that defense contractors expect from the American taxpayer has got to end. I'm going to continue my leadership on farm bill reform to end these taxpayer subsidies to large agribusiness. Those are some specific proposals that I've been working on, and that's what I think people need to hear from candidates running for office right now.
Thanks, Ron. Mike?
Again, Mr. Kind is wrong. Okay? Deficit reduction. My four-phase plan addresses deficit reduction. But he's the last guy that should be coming home and starting to talk about fiscal responsibility when he's voted for the GM bailout, when he's voted for stimulus, when he's voted for cap and trade, which is going to go to Wall Street and the big guys in Wall Street and start a whole new commodities trading market with carbon credits. Yeah, you deny that, but that's true. It goes to carbon credits and it starts a whole new commodity chain, and they're going to slowly reduce those commodities, and it's going to be more and more costly for all of us to be able to heat our house, to get to work, and cut our lawn. You're going to want to look over your shoulder every time you want to start your lawnmower to cut your grass, folks? That's what it's going to turn out to be. But my four-phase plan talks about, number one, constitutionality of government, jettisoning those programs, those bureaucracies, those departments that are not constitutional, and also starting to pare down welfare in our Health and Human Services Department. Health and Human Services, Ron's right. Health care is huge. So is Social Security. Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid compose 40% of our current budget in our government right now, and it's rising. Even Health and Human Services projects by 2050 on their own webpage, you can check it out, I can send you the link, that by 2050, 100% of the U.S. budget is going to be consumed on those three programs. Those three programs need to be phased out, and we need to start facilitating a medical local hospital co-op. I've got a plan for that, and I've reviewed it with 6 CEOs, CFOs of regional hospitals around my area. It's workable.
Okay, thank you. Dan?
Well, if we're going to pay down our debt and get out of it, we have to have a vibrant economy in the private sector, and this administration has done one bill after another that kills jobs in the private sector, and Mike alluded to cap and trade. Cap and trade is a job killer. As soon as this thing passed in the House by a narrow margin, businesses were looking to go move their companies offshore because we're the only country that's doing this. We have to develop a climate that is conducive to job growth. Cap and trade's a killer. Card check, where they take the union private ballot away from these people, is a job killer. Bailouts for GM, as Mike alluded to, the stimulus package of $800 billion that did come from China, as Ron mentioned. He voted for all of those. We're never going to get out of debt if we keep passing legislation that kills jobs in the private sector. Let's go back to the late 90s when this economy was going pretty well. In this state, we had a surplus of $700 million. You know why? Because people were working, and they sent too much money to Madison, and we send it back. That's what we need to do to pay down our debt.
Thank you, Dan. Next question is coming from Chris Hardy, and be directed at Dan Kapanke.
Speaking of specific plans for debt reduction, can you tell us your reaction to Congressman Paul Ryan's Restoring America's Promise idea, and what parts of the plan you do support or don't support?
Well, you have to commend the congressman for bringing forth a plan, which is what we need and what we've lacked. And we need real leadership in times like this. And Paul Ryan has been a real leader in bringing forth ideas, solutions to problems that we have. It doesn't mean that everything that Congressman Ryan says that everybody's getting behind. There are some things that I disagree with in his plan. He's got something about a VAT tax. He's got something about some other areas that are growth and Social Security and so on that I do not agree with. But let's give it to the congressman that he has the backbone to bring forth some policies that will help get this country back on track, getting people back to work, and paying down our debt.
Thanks, Chris. I've had an opportunity to look at Representative Ryan's plan. And it's not really a new plan at all. It's the failed policies of the past that haven't worked and people haven't bought. And Dan, when you were with the Tolman Journal, you said you embraced that plan. And let me tell you what's in it. He's talking about the privatization of the Social Security program and putting that money in the stock market. I led the fight to stop that in 2006. Dan had an opportunity to support a resolution stopping that too, condemning that privatization plan, and he voted against it. And fortunately, we were able to stop that because come along 2008 with the financial meltdown, over $17 trillion of wealth was destroyed in the stock market overnight, and it would have ruined the financial retirement security for tens of millions of seniors, including two-thirds of the seniors in western Wisconsin that rely on Social Security as their primary source of income every month. But he also talks about privatizing Medicare, and it's no surprise, because it's been the other party that didn't support Social Security and Medicare to begin with, and they've been doing everything they can to privatize it since then. His plan calls for giving seniors a $5,500 voucher, private voucher, and saying, here you go, and I'll go out in the market and find affordable health care coverage. But Paul Ryan's real problem is no one's buying it. Only five of his Republican colleagues in the Congress have endorsed it and sponsored it. And even though Dan was at the Tolman Journal saying he embraced the plan himself, there's no consensus around this. I will do everything I can to stand up for seniors back home and preserve and protect Social Security and Medicare, not just for them, but for future generations. And it was an important step that we took in shoring up the Medicare program with health care reform that was recently passed.
Thank you. Mike?
Well, I'm not as familiar with Paul Ryan's proposal as I should be. I'm an engineer. I'm kind of doing this as a citizen activist, trying to rescue our country from career politicians. So in taking care of my farm and doing my aerospace engineering job, you know, I'm not as up on some of this stuff as I should be. So I apologize for not being up on that. What I am up on is a pledge to America, this new rehashed Republican thing that they're coming out with that Dan has not raised his voice against, which tells you something. But in the pledge to America, their big economic savior for the country, what they want to do is roll back to 2008 spending levels. You know, 2008 spending levels, that should be a slap in the face to each one of you. That should be an insult to your intelligence. 2008 spending levels does nothing to get us back to the Constitution, of which the main problem in our country is lack of adherence to. Okay? Second one thing is they want to give you a tax deduction, a 20% tax deduction for businesses. I'm sorry, folks, that equates to about a 6-7% tax decrease for you. That's pathetic. That's not going to get us out of anything. You know, where's the estate tax that Ron just voted for? Five times Ron's voted for estate tax. $1 million. If you're a farmer, you got equipment, you got land, you got buildings, $1 million, and you die, they come and take 55% of it. That's in addition to the 50% they already took. When you die, You get to collect and keep 20% of what you earned over your whole life. That's not America.
Thank you. Next question comes from John Davis and directed to Ron Kind.
Depending on your perspective of the health care reform that passed earlier this year, how are you sure it will or will not work?
John, thanks for that question. I think it's an important issue because I supported health care reform. I believe it was the right thing to do at the right time for the right reasons. And here's why. Because I knew what the consequences of failure would bring if we did nothing. If we just allowed the healthcare system to continue to go as it was, there would be rising costs for all Americans. There would be more number of uninsured in this country. Businesses large and small, less able to compete globally because of the rising healthcare costs. And our public budgets continuing to explode in deficits. Because again, this is the fastest growing area of spending at all levels. But here's what else I believe. It was the right thing to do for the human beings and the people I represent back home. Shortly after passage, Beth Firstall wrote me a letter thanking me for my vote. And she told me that her little boy, Henry, suffered a stroke before he was born. And so the second he took his first breath, he was uninsurable. He had a pre-existing condition. Family couldn't get coverage for him. And they were being driven into bankruptcy. Or the 21-year-old gentleman in Black River Falls, a student, who thanked me for the vote. And I said, well, is there something in particular you're interested in? He said, yeah. 2 years ago, my younger brother needed a kidney. I gave him one of mine. And because I did that, even though I am perfectly healthy, I now have a pre-existing condition and I can't get. That is changing. It changed immediately for children with pre-existing conditions and for adults. And that's why it was important. But don't trust me. I mean, Dr. Rob Nessie just wrote a letter to the editor at the La Crosse Tribune. He's one of the prominent healthcare leaders in this community, CEO of Franciscan Senate. This is what he said. Congressman Ronkind supported healthcare reform, as did medical groups in the region. He worked effectively with us to modify the bill to support high-value care and meet the needs of the people of western Wisconsin. In politics, it's fair to question Congressman Kind's positions, but it isn't fair to question Congressman Kind's integrity or motivation. I know that people in the La Crosse region care about their neighbors and care about truth. We should all demand that those who would repeal the bill provide us with their alternatives and ignore outside special interest groups that have prospered while our system deteriorated and costs soared. That's from the words of Dr. Rob Nessie.
Thanks, Ron. Mike?
Insurance companies. Ron claims to be an independent because he's rejected insurance companies, yet he takes close to $200,000 from insurance companies and pharmaceuticals. You can check it on opencongress.org. $68,000 from pharmaceuticals alone, Ron. You are not a maverick. You are not an independent. But I do have a health care option, one that removes pre-existing conditions, one that removes it from the employer sphere, one that squeezes out insurance companies. This is my plan right here. And what it is, small, but it incorporates small local hospitals that we as local residents chip into. Instead of paying the insurance companies our $600 or whatever it is, dollar a month premium, we put it into the trust fund. We leverage the trust fund that they already have, that capability. That lowers costs for us, and it lowers costs for the hospital because they've got that pool of funds available to invest in the evil stock market, the capitalistic system that Ron doesn't like, that built this country. That's what we need to do. We need to establish a patient-doctor relationship again, both on a healthcare level and an economic level, folks. We need to squeeze insurance companies that are siphoning off all the funds, the kind of insurance companies that Ron Kind takes money from. Okay? And we need to facilitate those local hospitals working with regional care centers for the specialty items. But this thing is something we can all chip into. And as we cash out Social Security, part of those funds from seniors, $200,000 roughly, minus whatever you've been getting, part of that goes in to the co-op, buying a membership into the co-op.
Thank you, Mike. Dan?
Is there going to be time for rebuttal?
Yes, about 30 seconds.
Okay. I mean, you can answer this question, no.
Okay. It's very obvious that this bill was not ready for prime time. If it was, it would have been bipartisan. We would not have had 34 congressional Democrats vote against it. We would not have had to have the Louisiana Purchase and the Cornhusker kickback. We wouldn't have had to have any of those things. And now we're finding out that, McDonald's wants a waiver, and the Teachers Union North wants a waiver, and they're granted it. So now it's for sale whether you have to abide by Obamacare or not. We're picking and choosing winners and losers here. This is a bill that has cut Medicare and Medicare Advantage by $523 billion, folks. It has raised taxes by $500 billion. It has a provision in there of 1099s. And 1099s is like a tax form, like your W-2 you get at the end of the year. 1099s. And I've talked to businesses, and I'm a business owner. We used to do 10 or 12 of them. Now we're going to have to do probably 250 or 300 of them. I talked to a medium-sized business here that used to do 100. And they're going to have to do now 4,000 as best they can determine. Ladies and gentlemen, this is going to cost companies money and jobs. There's a business in Wisconsin that has restaurants in about 35 sites. As best this owner can determine, it's going to cost them $26,000 to $30,000 per site for Obamacare. That's $1 million, folks. Guess how they're going to pay for it? He says, my only choice is to lay off one salaried individual at each site. That is a job killer.
Okay, allow 30 seconds for a response from any of the three candidates about anything.
I'll take the way that our medical system under Ron Kind and Pelosi and Obama is going to work. We get a snapshot in Wisconsin or in Washington and Oregon. Termination sedation in those states makes it unable for patients' wishes to be known. The elderly, termination sedation. In Oregon, indigent cancer patients are starting to receive letters that they no longer qualify for chemotherapy treatment, but the state is willing to fund assisted suicide. With these types of programs, where things are rationed because of finite ability to pay by the government, people coming out of the woodwork, things are going to get rationed, folks. And the old people, I feel sorry for the old people because it exists and it's happening right now.
Sorry, Mike. Either of you want to respond to anything?
Yeah, I'd like to say first on Ron's issue, as far as the doctors are concerned, Ron, do you really think that these medical doctors will go out on a limb and jeopardize and risk their careers for a little pudgy farm boy from Coon Valley? Really? Do you really think so? I think you're selling them way short, sir, way short. I learned about the details of that issue this morning in the Milwaukee Sentinel, like a lot of people did. Secondly, Ron Kind claims to be independent. Well, he's citing a graduate study by one student that rated him fifth. Well, that same study rated Harry Reid in the Senate seventh. it rated Dennis Kucinich, who believes in UFOs and banning guns and allowing drugs, to be number two. So I just leave it to you as to the credibility of the study that he is citing.
Well, Dan, let's be realistic here. You know, Senator Reid is in the Senate, not the House.
That's true.
I was compared to my House colleagues. But, yeah, I would think these doctors would lie in order to score cheap political points because they are major fundraisers for your campaign, and one of them has been working for the 60-plus association that has spent over $600,000 running negative ads against me, trying to scare seniors about Medicare reform that's in the health care bill. That's outrageous. And you should be apologizing to Janet and my Eau Claire office for leveling these allegations again. It's a cheap political price practice that's going on. It's what's wrong with the political system today. And it's even a new law for unethical standards for you, Dan, for you of all people.